Survivor fans know there's nothing more important than a tribe you can trust, and the hunt for the perfect hire can be as tough as winning an immunity challenge. But what if you could just skip the search and just match? Enter Indeed, the ultimate hiring partner. With over 350 million monthly visitors worldwide, according to Indeed data, Indeed is more than a job site. It's your personalized hiring platform. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging, connecting you with candidates at the speed you need. According to a recent Indeed survey, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches. Indeed is your compass in the hiring jungle. It's a matching engine, not just for hiring, but effortlessly assembling your dream team. Indeed's matching engine learns from your preferences, leveraging over 140 million qualifications daily. The more you use it, the sharper it gets. Join 3.5 million businesses worldwide that trust Indeed for fast, quality hires. Listeners will get a $75 sponsored job credit at Indeed.com/survivor. Go to Indeed.com/survivor now. Support our show by mentioning you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/survivor. Terms and conditions apply. Need a hire? You need Indeed.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
You know, Jay, a stressful part of playing Survivor was not being able to get things off my chest, since when it came down to it, we were all after the same price.
Yeah. And since you played such an amazing social game, it must have been hard to keep things bottled up.
Absolutely. It was rough having to keep everything inside, big and small things, to stay focused on the game.
And having to do that can have a really negative effect on us, which is one of the reasons that I love therapy.
Exactly. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's all online and made to be convenient and flexible so it can fit your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist.
And you can switch therapists at any time for free, so you're sure you're on a team with the right person.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/onfire today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/onfire.
Welcome to On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. I'm Jeff Probst, the host and showrunner of Survivor. Each week, I'm joined by Jay Wolf, Survivor fan and the producer of this podcast. Hello, Jay.
What's up, Jeff?
We are also joined by the winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares. What's up, Dee?
What's up?
So each week we dissect the big moments of the most recent episode of Survivor 46, and we try to bring you insight from the points of view of a fan, a player, and a producer. All right, let's get into it. The big moments from episode 8 of Survivor 46. Jay, what stood out to you?
All right, well, I think everybody's going to agree this is going to go down as a Q episode across the board. There was the Q skirt. There's hide and seek, the rice negotiation that goes awry. Finally, a tribal council where for the second time this season, Q says, I'm going home tonight.
Yep.
Jeff, when you were casting Q, did you have a sense that this is the person that you were going to get?
No, we're not that good. I mean, I brag about our casting team and our casting process all the time, but it's not a science, because one of the big things you can't predict on Survivor is how the conditions of the game will impact each player. So in the case of Q, there's obviously a lot going on. It's very clear he's a natural leader. It sounds like he was a leader probably when he played sports, definitely a leader in his career as a realtor. But this is Survivor. There are lots of leaders out there. And if there's more than one leader in your group, who's going to acquiesce? Because it does not appear to be Q. And I think it's one of the more fun aspects of watching Survivor. You get to ask yourself, how would I behave in this situation? Like, if I look at Q and I'm on his tribe, I too am a leader and I have massive authority issues and I really don't like people telling me what to do. But I do know this about myself. I am absolutely capable of acquiescing if it's in my best interest. I don't see Q doing that. In fact, I'm on the fence, but I think his need for control is so much that this talk of wanting to leave the game is not a quit like we're used to, but rather this unique sense of loyalty that I caused the problem and therefore I have to be the one to pay the penalty. I don't know how it's going to play out, but it's not looking great for Q at this moment.
Yeah, well, we're definitely going to talk more about Q at that tribal council a little bit later. But first, Dee, I want to start in the beginning of the episode. The two groups that were separated at the tribal council, Q's group comes back and he's telling us he wants to strategize right away. Mm-hmm. He's pissed that the rest of the group are over there, I think as he calls it, kikiing. And he's over here on the log saying, I need to know what Ben wants to do. We got to move forward. Dee, if you're Ben,
yeah,
and you just lost Tim, one of your best friends out there, are you looking for a new ally in Q right now, or are you just wanting to sit around the fire and chat and wait for the rest of your friends to get back from tribal?
I loved the kiki hee hee scene of Q. He's awesome. But look, if I'm Ben and my bestie went home, I'd get to work immediately. But Ben is doing that with that kiki hee hee. That's probably part of his strategy. Mm. And if I'm Ben, I wouldn't let the tribe know that I'm feeling unsettled that my bestie just went home. I'd get to work and I'd talk to people here and there. But also, I'd stay hyper aware of who's trying to do damage control on me.
Mm-hmm. All right, so maybe Q had a point. Let's stick with Q. And I want to talk about what might have been one of the greatest inventions in Survivor history.
If you just want fashion, come on, rip the runway and something different. You want to turn it to the side. Get the Q skirt. Oh,
come on now.
And it's coming in multiple colors.
I'm ready to go.
This Q skirt here will cost less than a fanny pack, an extra bag, a sweater, a blanket.
All together.
Oh, dear. It's a one-in-one, and it's one for you. Buy three, get one free.
Oh, goodness.
Q!
I mean, I want to buy one. It's ridiculous to me in a way, but also so entertaining that I get to watch QVC now while I'm watching Survivor.
Yeah, and Jay, that comes down to the people you put on the show. He's playful. He's inventive. He's complex, for sure. But he's bringing loads of entertainment. I love Q. If you're a Survivor mm-hmm. player, okay, it's more complicated. You got to figure that out. But that's a YP, not an MP. These are the moments, whether it's Tevin and Soda singing, or the Q skirt, or that song title battle between Charlie and Ben. That's part of the new era. The game is here to be had at all levels. So it's a life experience. You have a shot at $1 million, but also soak up the joy and the fun every single day you're out there.
Yeah. Well, I want to stay on the joy and the fun that Q was having in this episode. He decides to engineer a game of hide and seek out of the blue. There's not a birdcage in the woods. There's not 100 keys that are hidden. You got to find one to find an advantage. Just straight up, we're going to play hide and seek. For nothing. Jeff, when you get the walkie call, they're playing hide and seek. Do you realize that it's going to become a segment or a moment of this size?
Okay, this is a great behind the scenes production question, because I imagine that the idea that people have is that someone in my position would know everything that's going on at any given moment. Like if you were shooting a movie, then you probably would know everything because everything is self-contained. You have your 50 scenes to your movie. You're going to shoot this scene on this day and all the resources are going to go to that scene. So the director's there, the audio team is there, the camera team is there. Everybody's working on this part of the movie right now. And when you capture that scene, you mark it off. To stay with that analogy, on Survivor, it's as though we're shooting all 50 scenes and they're all being shot by different teams at the exact same time. So when something like hide and seek is happening on the beach, 90% of the time, me, I'm out on the water looking at an upcoming challenge, or we're testing a risk reward game for a journey, or maybe we're having a creative meeting for the next season that we haven't even started shooting yet.
Wow.
And at the same time, just to go with this analogy, while they're playing hide and seek, our art department might be prepping the fires for Tribal Council tonight. And Team Flint might be testing a new way to hide an idol. Or our carvers in the art department are finishing a giant logo that we're going to use for the main title. Our camera techs are fixing cameras. All of this is happening at once. So no, I don't even get a call saying they're playing hide and seek.
Sucks for you.
Right, because at the end of the day, Matt and I would reconvene and I would catch him up on what's been going on with me. He would catch me up on what's been going on with him. And it would probably be this. Yeah, there was a funny hide and seek scene. Q led everybody. It should make for a fun scene. That's what I would hear. We're just going, man. This machine just keeps going for 26 straight days. And then when it's over, you sit down and look at what you have.
Okay, let's stay with this hide and seek for a second, D. Q is telling us that this game is more than just a game. It's going to reveal gameplay, right? If you can hide and hide and seek, you can hide and survive. Is this a fair analogy?
I don't know. Look, Jay, I kind of disagree there. I feel like, yes, it's fun to play hide and seek. And for example, Hunter got at the top of the tree and that was like really fun. I do think Hunter's hiding a little bit. I do think that it can reveal some gameplay, but I don't think that it's necessarily the way to go about it. I think Q is thinking in extremes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that if you hide well in hide and seek, then you can hide well on Survivor. I think there are bigger reasons to vote someone out than in the way in which they play hide and seek. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I'll just join in on this, that I think what Dee is saying, and tell me if I'm getting this right, Dee,
yeah,
you don't agree because it doesn't work for you.
Correct.
But it did work for Q, and he is an extreme thinker. He's already said twice, just kick me out. I'm the one responsible. So my pitch to players is always the same. Play your game. Q is playing his game, whether you like it or agree with it or not. He is playing the game.
Right.
Mm. Dee, is there anyone hiding in plain sight in your point of view?
I do think that Maria and Charlie as a duo are in the perfect spot. And it's interesting because I feel like no one has really clocked them. They know that they're a duo, but no one has said their names as threats, which is really interesting. It makes me think that they're doing such a phenomenal job at hiding their alliance because they haven't been brought up as targets, right? It also seems like they're aware of the chaos going on around them and using that to their advantage. So they're really playing an extremely great middle ground game right now.
Dee, I love what you just said because the reminder is the audience knows.
Right.
The audience knows everything, but the players don't.
No.
So what appears obvious to us, as Dee just said, is not always obvious to a player. You might not see these two people are aligned because they're so good at never showing it, and yet they're deeply aligned.
Mm.
For all we know, they could even be strategizing at night when everyone's sleeping. So that's maybe why the players aren't even becoming aware of it either.
Well, let's stick with Charlie and Maria for a second. And I want to talk about the alliance that they are in with Q, the six. We hear a lot about the six in the episode. And again, we hear from Q, something that I have to play here.
The ideal is to keep my alliance making decisions that I want them to make under my control, under my rule. It's almost like I'm a mob boss. And they dare not to say a name within my organization. And if they do, send them packing. I sent him a Q-skirt, though.
Come on.
That's really funny.
Yeah. So you already mentioned Maria and Charlie.
Yeah.
In Q's mob organization of the six, where is everybody standing? And do you feel like this is an alliance that actually has legs?
I don't know. Is it really a six alliance? To me, it's just a complete mess. We got Q, Tiff, Maria, Charlie, Hunter, and Tevin. Charlie said it the best. This alliance has zero legs. I agree, because on paper, it sounds nice, but it's kind of like, you know, when you go into business with someone, you don't go into business thinking it's going to be all flowers and roses. No, you go into it because you trust the person. You have the same vision moving forward. And that is not the case in this six alliance. They're all chaotic. In the perfect world, they'd gain the numbers, right? But they're losing so much more because it's this six alliance, but there's also mini alliances. And do you really want to ruin those mini alliances that you may trust a little bit more than the six? If I was in that six, I'd hone down on who is the leader and I'd try to get them out. And in this case, it'd be Q.
Yeah. Okay. So obviously we're talking about Q a ton this episode. Jeff, how do you determine the balance in terms of who gets the airtime?
Here's what happens, Jay. Every season of Survivor, the same thing happens. If you were featured a lot and it was in a positive way and the fans liked you, you love Survivor. If you weren't featured as much, or maybe the fans didn't like you as much, you hate this season and you think we did a terrible job of editing. So the reason Q is being featured so much is he is driving story. If you go look at the facts of this episode, who was in charge? Q, the hide and seek and trying to take himself out of the game. All of this stuff, you hear it in the interview. I'm the mob boss. Whether he is the mob boss and is in control has yet to be seen. But from a story standpoint, there's no denying Q is driving, driving, driving. So I always say to players who get frustrated, look, be more interesting. I'm not saying blow your game up, but Q is incredibly entertaining and undeniable that he is a force out there. Mm. Will he last another week? Who knows? But right now, he's in the game and he's hard to ignore. All right, when we come back, we offered them rice. They said no. We'll be right back. Survivor fans know there's nothing more important than a tribe you can trust, and the hunt for the perfect hire can be as tough as winning an immunity challenge. But what if you could just skip the search and just match? Enter Indeed, the ultimate hiring partner. With over 350 million monthly visitors worldwide, according to Indeed data, Indeed is more than a job site. It's your personalized hiring platform. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging, connecting you with candidates at the speed you need. According to a recent Indeed survey, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches. Indeed is your compass in the hiring jungle. It's a matching engine, not just for hiring, but effortlessly assembling your dream team. Indeed's matching engine learns from your preferences, leveraging over 140 million qualifications daily. The more you use it, the sharper it gets. Join 3.5 million businesses worldwide that trust Indeed for fast, quality hires. Listeners will get a $75 sponsored job credit at Indeed.com/survivor. Go to Indeed.com/survivor now. Support our show by mentioning you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/survivor. Terms and conditions apply. Need a hire? You need Indeed.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
You know, Jay, a stressful part of playing Survivor was not being able to get things off my chest, since when it came down to it, we were all after the same price.
Yeah. And since you played such an amazing social game, it must have been hard to keep things bottled up.
Absolutely. It was rough having to keep everything inside, big and small things, to stay focused on the game.
And having to do that can have a really negative effect on us, which is one of the reasons that I love therapy.
Exactly. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's all online and made to be convenient and flexible so it can fit your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist.
And you can switch therapists at any time for free, so you're sure you're on a team with the right person.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/onfire today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/onfire.
Welcome back to On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. All right, Jay, next moment.
Yeah, I want to talk about the rice negotiation. Jeff, you tell us in the episode, at a certain point, I will offer food. It's here, 16 days in. And you tell them that you want 4 sit-outs for that bag of rice. Then you reveal you'd be willing to make a different deal. 2 players losing their vote.
Right.
Can you talk to us a little bit about this negotiation? And did it surprise you that they ultimately didn't take the deal?
Well, nothing surprises me on Survivor anymore. But when it comes to the rice negotiation, the construct is pretty simple. Food versus trust. This was the original idea when we put it into the game in Survivor 41. You force the players to go a very long time without a constant source, a staple. And then you give them the option to get enough rice for the rest of the season. That's a huge deal. Physical energy, mental energy. It satisfies that literal hunger in your stomach. Mm-hmm. But what's the invoice? One thing, your shot at security. So whether that is seen as a big invoice or not depends on the season and the players. Because on any season of Survivor, I mean, think about it. If the whole group just said, look, we promise we will not vote out the 4 players who are willing to give up their shot, then that's a very simple decision.
Sit
out. But as Dee knows, when you are one of the 4 that are volunteering to sit out, it becomes a very different thing because it requires trust. They don't have to keep their word. There's no rules about loyalty. So then the player would say, well, if there's no risk here, why don't you sit out and I'll stay in and I'll compete? And I know what people at home think is, well, just look at the challenge and decide if you can win or not. But it's not like that because A, you're out there to play, and B, you know, on any given day, I could win. We see it happen every week. So there's a lot of these layers. And I think what this negotiation showed is that this game is intense and nobody feels safe and everybody wants at least a shot at immunity. Dee, what's your take?
I disagree a little bit when you said that the audience views and they just said, sit out if you can't win, because I think once we see the challenge for the first time, you have an idea of whether or not you'd win that challenge. And I get it. It's Survivor and we want to play and we want to do everything. But if you know you got a hunter on your tribe and you might not necessarily have the arm strength or the leg strength, I'm going to sit out because the least I can do is at least look like a quote unquote hero to some people, not all, some people. But if I can get through to that one person that looks at me as a hero for sitting out for the rice, I'm going to do it. Even if it means I'm not participating in the challenge.
Dee, I just want to point out that you did win this challenge when you competed in it the season before.
But I knew I would win it, though.
Okay, got it. Jeff, did they get another shot at rice this season, or was this a one and done, you lost?
I'm not going to give away what's happening, but no, this will not be the last time that we see or hear of Rice.
Okay, I want to talk about the challenge itself, and I know we've talked about it on this podcast before when Dee actually won the challenge, as I mentioned. But Jeff, you said in the episode, this is one of your favorite challenges.
Right.
Can you tell me why that is?
Well, you know what? I called John Kerhofer when I saw this question in the rundown, and I said, why is it your favorite challenge? And John Kerhofer, if you don't know, is a day one Survivor employee. There's five people that have been there every single day. He's now a co-EP on the show, but he's overseen every single challenge in every single episode, and Get a Grip is his favorite challenge of all time. And he said it's because it is simply pure grit and will. And I think we told this story, but the day he figured out this could be a challenge, he was sitting in the back of a pickup truck in Vanuatu, and he watched a local guy shinny up a tree, like 60 feet up in the air, effortlessly, and then start chopping coconuts down. And he thought, this guy's just up there holding on to this tree. Wow, he must be really strong. That would be an amazing challenge. So he went back to the art office and told Dan Monday, who is no longer with our show, but was a major creative force on the show for many years. And they went outside, and about 3 feet up in the air, they wrapped themselves around a palm tree just to try it. And then they got some dream teamers and they went a little higher, and it was born. It's organic. It's elegant in a Survivor way, and it's very simple. And as he said, it's just really a true test of will, the player against themselves and gravity. And the name, most of the challenges, at least in the first 20 seasons, were named after classic rock songs because Kerhofer is stuck in classic rock. So this is a nod to, obviously, gripping it. Also, it was a nod to our grip department and the classic Aerosmith album of the same name that, of course, everyone listening knows. Get a grip.
Oh, Jay, we got to listen to that.
Ben would be proud.
Yes.
Okay, Dee, I've said it three times now. You won this challenge. Reveal your secrets. What's it like up on that pole?
Oh, yeah.
Let me just start off by saying that this pole is much thicker and the footholds are much smaller than previous seasons, like pre-40.
That is true.
The moment that they released the ladders, automatic panic. And I'll tell you what, I wanted to start at the very top because psychologically, I wanted to look down at my competition. Mm-hmm. And also a step further, I knew that I can't just let go because I'm so high up that if I let go, I'm probably going to break an ankle or a wrist, or the splinters in the wood are going to like just sink into my thighs. So the challenge is going on, and this is what you're thinking about. It's just you and the poles and your competition, and then all these cameras too, because now you're just a little bit more aware since we're not really moving around, right? You just look around, and once someone finally drops, you're like, okay, people are starting to drop. I might be able to win this challenge, right? And then it gets to a point where it really sucks. Your body starts shaking. My feet gave up. And that's when I like gripped it with my ankles afterwards, because I'm like, at least I can do two different things, right? My body started shaking. I was sweating so much. You can feel every drop in your face. You feel every single drop, I swear.
How small do you make the moments when you start getting desperate?
I love that question. It comes down to like 5 seconds, Jeff. I couldn't focus on anything else other than my breathing, every single breath. And then at 5 more seconds, Dee, just hold on 5 more seconds, because if someone lets go, you'll be fine. Just 5 more seconds. And that's really all it is. You're just constantly talking to yourself at the end of it. Like, you can do this. You can do this. Even if for a split thought you think, oh, my God, I might give up. No, you just got to kill that thought and be like, no, 5 more seconds. You can do this. That's what it feels like.
That was cool.
Wow.
That actually helps me, because maybe I'll start saying 5 more seconds when we do this again.
I'm like sweating.
But I'm sweating too. I really am. It's funny you said that. This is a challenge, Jay, that always gives me a little pause. Every time we do it, I ask Kerhofer, they're good, right? I mean, they can inch their way down. They can grip the pole. Yeah, they might get some splinters like Dee said, but they're going to be okay. Because I do worry about somebody's body giving out. And they are quite a ways up in the air and going straight down. Fortunately, we have not had any injuries like that. And maybe it's what Dee said. It is that panic of holding on that actually helps you. Even when you start to fail, at least you're failing in increments. You're going down 3 feet and then another 2 feet and then until you get to the bottom. That was very interesting.
Last thing on this challenge here. We saw towards the end, Charlie decided to renegotiate a little bit moments before dropping out. Jeff, did you think twice when Charlie offered a renegotiation?
No, not at that point. But I've said it a lot. Always negotiate. I am a deal maker. Like I said, I was willing to take two votes instead of four players. So I like it when things go a little bit haywire or not as planned, and suddenly we're having a discussion about something with an uncertain outcome, because I like the uncertainty as well. But it has to be a legitimate offer. And at that point, it's like, you know, it's like the guy who's eaten most of his dessert and then sends it back and says, it wasn't any good. I want a refund. No, that's not happening.
Jeff, an idea just popped into my head and I just wanted to run it by you. Let's just say during this negotiation, someone says, I'll trade you my immunity idol for the bag of rice. Would you take
it?
Oh my God.
Wow. So one player reveals they have an idol, first of all, which means probably everybody knows, but they're willing to give it up for rice. I'm not going to answer whether I would take that deal or not, but that's the kind of thinking you should be doing on Survivor.
So it's not a no.
Well, it's not a no, D, because that's a worthy trade. That's the most valuable thing in the game, regardless if people know you have it. You're at least safe for one more tribal. So yeah, I would have to really think about that one. And if somebody brings that up in 47 or 48, we'll see how it plays out. All right, one more quick break. Then when we come back, we got to talk about tribal. Things got wild. It was pandemonium. It's what we like to call a live tribal. We'll be right back.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome back to On Fire. All right, Jay, let me set the stage. It's Tribal Council, and Q has something he wants to say.
I want to stop before we get deep into the tribal. The only person that's going home tonight is me. And I'll tell you what.
Wait, what, you mean you're predicting your vote out?
Yeah, well, I don't think anyone here coming into the Tribal Council was voting for me. But I'm gonna ask everybody to vote for me. Then all of these nine folks are going back to camp today. I feel like...
Let me just interrupt real quick.
Yeah.
Is this news to everyone?
Yes.
What is it?
What the hell?
Totally.
Q, what are you talking about?
So if someone goes home tonight and it wasn't the right way, because like I said, there's probably five people here right now who are like, who the heck am I voting for because of a mistake that I made in the game? And I want everybody to start just playing the game hard. You have a new beginning.
I mean, this leads to absolute bedlam, and a live tribal occurs. Jeff, talk us through what's happening here. Did you have any idea at all that Q was going to do something like this? And how do you adapt in this moment?
Well, with Q, it wouldn't matter what Q said at camp, in reality, or to a producer in interview, because he's unpredictable, which is why he is so fun to watch and certainly maddening to play with. Here's the thing about a live tribal. I love it, but not for the reasons that you might think, because I often hear people say things like, well, it makes for great TV, and I know what they mean, but that's not what is fun about a live tribal for me. What I like is that there are stakes. It's a real-time negotiation that is happening between a group of people, none of whom trust each other fully. So your skills as a reader of people, body language, change in vernacular, your ability to talk to one person while listening to the whispers of another has to be absolutely on point. This is literally a million-dollar negotiation, and someone is going to lose. This is where Survivor is. It's never going backwards. It can't. This is the baseline. So if you're in trouble going into tribal, then a live tribal is possibly your salvation, because it's up in the air and the vote is not decided. What can you do right now in this moment? But if you were safe going into tribal, then a live tribal is your nightmare. Mm-hmm. And as Dia said many times, that is why you must find the opportunity in every situation. Do not lament. Exploit. The sharp player always finds a way to come out of every situation a little better than they went into it. Live tribals are ripe for opportunity. Yes, there's fear and it's real and the stakes are high, but you can't play from fear. You have to use the fear, lean into it, be the predator, not the prey.
Mm. D, you said earlier on this podcast, Q couldn't take Burdett fumbles. How could he take Burdett quits? Mm. And yet here he is doing it again. Is it a move? Why is he doing this?
Dude, I don't know. I wish I did. I wish I had the answer to his brain the way it works. I'm just as bamboozled as you guys are. Again, I think it's extremist thinking. It can work well in the real world, especially knowing that he's successful in his career, right? But in a game like Survivor, I don't know how you weren't pissed, Jeff. You said that it wasn't a quit, but I don't know. Your face looked a little shocked. But look, again, I'm a huge Q fan from the couch, but it would be so frustrating to play with him. And I just think, he, you know, Q's obviously an alpha male and he likes to drive things. He likes to be a leader. So it's interesting to see how the rest of the players from here on out are going to play with him, knowing that he's this unpredictable and he likes to be the person in charge of votes.
Mm.
And I'll take your comment. I didn't see it as a quit. And maybe that's my own naivete, because I never got the sense that Q wanted out of the game or he'd had too much or he was too hungry or tired. I never got that sense. But I did get the sense that Q might see the world sometimes as the, you know, I'm the hero of this moment, but maybe I'm missing it.
Mm. You know, it's interesting. It all seemed to work out the way Q wanted it to work out.
Yeah.
In some way. He leaves with his ally, Tiff. Tevin, who is a huge threat, is gone. Who knows? Maybe it was the most successful move of all time. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Jeff, I mean, one thing we know for sure, Q didn't vote for himself. Can you vote for yourself?
No, you can't. No.
All right. Well, then I guess it's still unwritten. Any last thoughts on Tevin, Jeff, as we bid him goodbye?
Yeah. For some players, I can go to my notes and read from them. But with Tevin, that didn't really cut it for me, because Tevin is one of those players. If you could have a Tevin every season, you told me, Probst, you can have a Tevin every season, I'd say lock it in.
Mm.
That's one spot that's guaranteed.
That's awesome.
We started the season with Tevin, that amazing voice and that beautiful story that he told of looking at Survivor through his eyes, what it means, what it offers. And through his specific take, we got the universal of what Survivor is. And we're at a stage in this season now where you know the players well enough that losing them really hurts, because you can see them as an eventual winner. And that's the trick of the game. If we can see them as a winner, so can the other players. And that's one of the key reasons Tevin is gone. He was too big of a threat.
Yeah, he was so fun to watch. And man, I would love to see him again. So, you know, if you can get another Tevin next season, that sounds great to me. All right, let's get into some fan questions. As a reminder, if you have a burning question about Survivor, you can email it to us, survivorshoutout@cbs.com. I read the questions. Literally, it's me. I do it. And I might even read it here, like this one from Bill. He says, Jeff, you've said you have S&P there to keep challenges fair. Do you ever disagree with them when they make a call, or is there a back and forth? How does this really play out?
That's a great question, Bill. S&P stands for Standards and Practices. And that's the group, or in this case, a person on our show, that makes sure the game is fair. So that somebody like Dee, that everybody likes, and she did really well in Get a Grip, and we decide, we should do Get a Grip again tomorrow. In fact, we should just do Get a Grip for the rest of the season, because then maybe Dee will win. That doesn't happen. And that's their job, is to make sure that the game is fair. How that plays out in a practical way is, at challenges, they're there for every test, every rehearsal. They know all the rules, what the tiebreaker is, all of those things. That's pretty standard. Where it gets a little more complicated is when something happens that you aren't expecting. I'll give you two different examples. The first one is Wendell in Ghost Island. I don't know if you remember this, but in his season, he solved the puzzle first. But part of finishing the puzzle is you have to step away and tell me that you have it, because otherwise I don't know if you're still working. Well, he didn't do that. Laurel finished a second later, and I declared Laurel the winner. In this situation, Wendell was very gracious. He accepted that he just kind of lost his mind for a moment. He was fatigued and he didn't step back. But just to be sure, I went over and consulted with John Kerhofer and the S&P person and said, did we all see it the same way, right? Whether he finished or not doesn't matter. He didn't step back. And we did. We all agreed. Now let me give you a different example where we got it wrong and we had to remedy it. It was Pearl Islands, and we did a word scramble. And part of the challenge was you had to spell the words on a chalkboard. One player, Burton, had the most words. I awarded him immunity. It's a big deal. He's safe at tribal. The tribe start to walk off when someone on our team notices that the word liaison is spelled wrong. So that word didn't count. So we had to call him back in. I had to say, I made a mistake. Liaison is spelled wrong. Burton, you do not get that point. And then we awarded it to, I think it was Dara who ended up winning that challenge. But think about that moment. Burton walks out going, I'm safe tonight. And then I got to say, sorry, dude, I messed that up. You're not safe. So that's a case where the standards and practices person would say, yeah, that word is no longer correct. Call everybody back and change it. Fortunately, it doesn't happen very often. That's the only time I can think of. But we always remind the players, like with D, we introduce them to the standards and practices person and we give the speech, right? D, that says, look, the game is fair. And that's why this person is here to make sure that the game is fair.
Yeah, I didn't even know that until we were there. All right. Next question is Nina. Hi, everyone. I remember in old seasons, players would hustle to use their eyeglasses or various things around camp to try to start a fire. Do these new players not know how to make a fire without flint? Or is there a rule prohibiting it before you've won your tools in the game?
Yeah, there's no rules on making fire. We love it when tribes attempt and sometimes succeed in making fire. But I will say, after watching this for 23 years, it's a lot more difficult than you think. Everything has to be just right. Dry wood, dry kindling, whatever. But yeah, if you have glasses and you can use sunlight and direct it to get a flame going, that would be an amazing survivor moment.
I gotta say, if anybody could do it, I would bet it would be Hunter. All right, question number three is from Carrie. They write, what's going on, Jeff and J&D? I applied for Survivor, but I'm worried that when you call me, I'll be in a meeting or taking a nap. Do you leave a voicemail? What do the initial stages of casting look like? Thanks and love the podcast and the show.
Ah, yes, Carrie, the dreaded. I could have been on the show, but that damn Zoom meeting went longer than planned. No, we would definitely give you another call or we would leave a voicemail. We would probably email you. But I think we talked about this when we did the episode on casting in the first season. If we do call you, call back. There are times when we call people who have applied to be on the show and we don't hear back from them for a week. So in that case, yes, your chances of being on the show start to diminish rather quickly. All right, that's it for this week's episode on Fire. If you enjoy the show and you have a moment, we'd love it if you gave us a rating. It really helps us grow.
You could also leave us a review like this one that comes from Nice Fishy on Apple Podcasts that says, have been a fan since season one and enjoy watching with the family and being a couch contestant during the episodes. The podcast definitely enhances the experience so much. And I have to say that Dee is a fantastic addition to the theme. Aww. Thank you. Thank you. Her perspective is unique and helps the fan understand what it's like being there. Can't wait to hear next episode.
If you do leave us a review, we might just read it here. So please go do that wherever you listen to podcasts.
There's a brand new episode of Survivor every Wednesday at 8, 7 Central on CBS and Paramount Plus. And immediately following the episode, there's a new episode of this podcast, On Fire. See you then.